Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
She patted down my arms, my back, my lower back. Then she proceeded to go around my waistband with her fingers inside my waistband.
I was stopped along the way by a federal agent, and they wanted to see my penis.
She then proceeded to touch my buttocks. She then moved around to the front, touched the tops of my breasts and underneath of my breasts.
As John Tyner put it, they wanted to see my junk.
We can do that out here, but if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
Then she moved to the bottom of my legs, moved all the way up my inner thighs, touching my private areas.
I have had my love pats every single flight I have taken, which is at least twice a week.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again.
All right, so here it is, the same thing over and over again. Intrusive government, Hitler, Nazi. I mean, well, I said, what do you want him to do? I know, now accuse me of being a collaborator with the... I don't care what you think of me. Have you people lost your common sense? Here we have a lawyer acquitting a terrorist who bombed the embassies in Tanzania and Dar es Salaam. He is acquitted in a federal court because of the liberal lawyers and the liberal legal system. And now you have people saying, don't look for the explosives on me. Look for them on someone else. Look, I understand what is going on. I myself have stopped flying because of it. And I don't like it any more than you do. And I think that there should be racial profiling and terrorist profiling. And I think there should be different levels of profiling for various individuals. Certainly countries of origin should subject you to a different level of screening. If you're coming out of, let's say, Kenya, let's say you've gone to visit Obama's homeland and you've made a pilgrimage and left howdy doody dolls at Obama's homeland at the place of his birth and you're flying back, you should get a double frisking. Well, let's say you're coming from Pakistan, and you should be investigated a little more, thoroughly. So I don't want to talk about it. It's so boring. The big news to me is Senator Rockefeller, Democrat West Virginia, actually Socialist Democrat West Virginia, wants the FCC to close down Fox News and MSNBC News because they ruin political discourse. And he says it would, listen to this, you're not going to believe it. Well, play clip 12. Hold on, stop, let me back up. Here is a United States senator whose father drank breast milk, Senator Rockefeller, Democrat, West Virginia, who wants the FCC to end Fox News and MSNBC News because they ruin political discourse. And he said it would make our ability to do work in Congress better. And he said people will then have more faith in their government. In other words, if you're lied to and you don't know what's going on, you don't know what Barney Frank did to you, and you have no idea what Nancy Pelosi is doing to you, you'd be happier. Listen to clip 12.
We need new catalysts for quality news and entertainment programming. I hunger for quality news. I'm tired of the right and the left. There's a little bug inside of me which wants to get the FCC to say to Fox and to MSNBC, out, off, end, goodbye. Be a big favor to political discourse, our ability to do our work here in Congress, and to the American people to be able to talk with each other and have some faith in their government and in their, more importantly, in their future.
Okay. Well, that's how it is in China. That's, of course, what the New York Times wants, a China-like government. Many, many liberals want a government like China, a dictatorship, in other words, where they take your kidneys out if you disagree with them. That's the way liberals work. They claim they're better than you, but in fact, they're the lowest slime on the planet. So here's Jay Rockefeller joining the fascist slime of the world, wanting to eliminate political discourse in America. He wants only midstream discourse, the kind that Tom Brokaw was famous for, or Dan Rather, or even worse than that, going back to the age of Uncle Walter Crankenhouse. Walter Crankenhaus gave the kind of news that kept the American people in the dark. Then along came the others who kept the American people in the dark. And finally, then we got cable channels. I mean, despite their bumps and flaws, that's good. It's very good. So he wants to close MSNBC and Fox and probably throw in talk radio as well. I think you should just have sort of a voice of the Democrat Party broadcast from Washington, D.C., on the style of, let's say, a China style, where the government runs the news networks. Because that way there'll be no messy, whatever, and people will love government again. Whatever. You don't care about that either. You know Thanksgiving's coming up. Do you still know what you're doing? Do you not still know what you're doing? Do you know what you're not doing? Do you want to talk about it? Is it too soon already? Am I jumping the gun on it? Do I love the holiday? I do love the holiday. I actually love the holiday. That's why I say stuff yourself with the truth by trickle-up poverty and argue with relatives. See, I like argument. I think arguments are good over a dining table. That's where they should occur. I hunger for arguments over the Thanksgiving table. I hunger for conservatives to confront their brainwashed liberal relatives. I hunger for confrontation over the chestnuts. Hey, do you have chestnuts roasting on an open fire by my favorite singer of the time? I forget. Nat King Cole. That is so American to me. Imagine that. An African-American singer that was able to sing so beautifully like that without having to revert to hieroglyphics with his pants hanging down to his... See, the beauty here of dressing like a crack star is that you don't even have to go through a TSA checker. You just let go of your pants and walk through that way. There's no need to even be frisked. I feel like I'm in a nightclub and there's nobody there and no one's listening, that they're all like drinking and they're clinking glit. You ever get that feeling? I have a fifth sense about radio, fifth, sixth sense that no one in the business can understand except those who understand it. Either I'm too tired to do the show today correctly, or you don't care already. I feel you've tuned out. I could tell my dog isn't even listening. He's just rolling around on the floor and rubbing a pillow. Oh, he had too big a night last night. I went back to Aliotta's to have that cracker thing, the fish that I love. Cracker breadcrumbs. Oh, my God. I brought two guests in from L.A. They wanted me to eat in the Four Seasons. And I said, no, let me take you to a great place on Fisherman's Wharf. Everyone thinks it's a tourist trap, but they don't know what they're talking about. Most of the people in San Francisco talk about restaurants are from Topeka. And if they think if it's loud, it's good. They think if they're ripped off, it's even better. So I said, go where the Sicilian old-timers go. So we went. Teddy had another half a burger. We had the fish. I looked at the gulls. After dinner, we chased wharf rats around outside on the wharf. No, I took Teddy with me because I figured in case a rat jumped out. They are down there. What are you going to do? They live on the wharf. Let's see what else happened. A woman came in the... I was in the private calamari room eating. And an elegant middle-aged woman with beautiful clothing came in, poked her head in and said, I knew you'd be here tonight. I said, I was stunned. I said, how'd you know? I just knew you'd be here. Is that Teddy? She said. I said, yes. I said, well, yes. How you doing? What do you do for a living? She said, I'm a clothing designer. I said, that's beautiful. She is a great clothing designer and all of that. Then she introduced her husband, who was a retired highway patrolman. Amazing. The people, there's really good people left in San Francisco. You just never hear from them. They're the silenced majority in Nancy Pelosi's town. You know what I mean? And the tunnel keeps going on and on and on. I'm not talking about TSA. Please, I can't do it. I don't want to take any TSA calls. I think I will go to sleep on the microphone. You will hear the sound of a zzz. Think of a cartoon zzz. I mean, we have other things to talk about. We have Senator Rockefeller having a hissy fit. He wants Fox News and MSNBC turned off. He doesn't want any political anger in the country. And he said it would help them do their work in Congress. Oh, we know what kind of work you do, Mr. Rockefeller. And he said it would help restore faith in the government. Yeah, well, in China they have faith in the government since they don't know what the government does, except what the government tells them. Listen to clip 13 of old Rockefeller.
Slim down channel packages that better respect what we really want to watch. And we need to find ways to provide greater value for television viewers at lower cost, because people are tired of always escalating rates.
Well, put out the Rockefeller Channel. That's all. Put out the Rockefeller Channel, and you can hire Tom Brokaw to be the the Speaker-in-Chief. You can get Tom Brokaw. You can get old Walter Winchell recordings. Wow, they're all nuts. Something happened to people after a certain age. When they've been in Congress too long, they become cranky and they become... There's a word for it that was used, it's out of fashion, called brittle. Brittle. You ever hear that word? It's not applied to people much anymore. Like peanut brittle. Brittle? Brittle. Rockefeller sounds very brittle. That's the road to... Well, it's a reflection of atherosclerotic... an interior that's atherosclerotic, where the arteries are hardening in his brain and the blood flow is insufficient. And they get this voice and this mentality that's pinched. That's what I mean by brittle. It's atherosclerotic. You know, when I was in graduate school... No, when I was in graduate school getting my PhD, I remember my professor said to me that the first thing that elderly people lose is their judgment. And I didn't know what he meant. He said, the first thing elderly people lose is their judgment. He was an expert on this. Listen to Senator Rockefeller again in clip 12 and tell me if you agree with him.
We need new catalysts for quality news and entertainment programming. I hunger for quality news. I'm tired of the right and the left. There's a little bug inside of me which wants to get the FCC to say to Fox and to MSNBC, out, off, end, goodbye. Be a big favor to political discourse, our ability to do our work here in Congress, and to the American people to be able to talk with each other and have some faith in their government and in their, more importantly, in their future.
Well, I would say Senator Jay Rockefeller at that, if you'd like to talk to the American people, give a call to 1-800-449-8255, and you will reach more people than you've ever spoken with in your entire life. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This is Graham Hancock with a special report. I've interviewed Michael Savage to find out his thoughts on the TSA violations. Here is my report. So, how do you feel about Janet Napolitano ignoring the civil rights of American citizens?
I don't know. TSA pats down a screaming toddler. How's that for one?
Shocking! Absolutely shocking.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why I say eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may never come.
Absolutely.
You don't read the Bible. You think you're here forever, right? You got to have a good time also. You got to enjoy yourself. You got to laugh at authority.
I see.
They have
yes.
all the power, so you can laugh at them while you're complying. I mean, what are you going to do? You can laugh at them still. It's still legal to laugh at them. It's not yet a dictatorship.
Michael, let me play some audio of Janet Napolitano and get your reaction to it.
You know, we're not doing this just to do it. We're doing it because we need to keep powders and gels, liquids off of planes that are unauthorized, just as we need to keep metals off
of
planes.
She sounds like a common street walker.
That have been articulated.
And, we just come in from the bowling alley, a couple of girls, we're out bowling, and we're working on it. We're working it down. We got to keep the gels and the powders out of there. And it's a risk-based system. And you got to understand at the airport, I mean, you know, just something we know a lot about here. And, we're going to resolve it to the satisfaction of the American people. Now, if you got to be frisk once in a while, you know, dummy up and just take it. I mean, that's the way it is. It's what we do down here anyway, so what's the difference? I understand in San Francisco this is normal behavior anyway. I mean, they go out in the clubs and this is what they do at night. So what are you belly aching at the airport? You know, lighten up a little bit with this Victorian behavior. You know, lighten up a little bit. You might like it.
I absolutely agree. Doesn't it seem that it's a bit draconian of them, especially since they're all about human rights and civil liberties?
How is it that all of these psychotic liberals who escaped Nazism want Nazism? How is that? They're all in love with dictatorships all of a sudden, and left-wing dictatorships, you understand. And now they want to reimpose a sort of liberal Hitlerism. How does that work? They, of all people, should be sensitive to an intrusive government.
Well, there you have it. Sage wisdom from Michael Savage, one of the only men in America who really sees the bigger picture. And now, back to you, Michael Savage.
Thank you, David. David Rubin with a little lighthearted fare on the Savage Nation, because you need lightness right now. You don't want to hear about a terrorist being acquitted of 272 charges because they shopped it to a red diaper doper baby judge named Kaplan. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear that Senator Jay Rockefeller is now calling for the end to news as you know it. He only wants the government news, the Democrat news. Him, Thomas Friedman, and a few other left-wing fanatics want government-controlled news now. You didn't want to know about Obama's desire to push through the nuclear arms treaty with Russia that will cripple us and render us impotent in the ability to defend ourselves. Why do you need to know about that? You need to know a turkey recipe, a stuffing recipe. Because after all, next Friday is Black Friday, whatever that is, when you all go shopping mad. The years I spent in the Pacific collecting plants, there was a similar thing amongst the people in the highlands of New Guinea, the ones who ran around without clothes, had the big numbers and the little numbers. I can't describe what they wore because it's a family show, but it was based upon a man's. Actually, the TSA is closed. Let me explain it another way. In one of the tribes in New Guinea, men were defined by the way they were birthed. Anyway, you get the picture. In other words, what the TSA is looking for, they exhibited with the vegetable material around. And that's how they judged, like the big, and they called themselves big numbers and little numbers. It was very clear who the big number was and the little number. So if you're a little number, I mean, you know, you were caught, it was like a short shrift in that tribe, that's all. You got the bad jobs, you got the bad food, the bad women. You got the bad mat to sleep on at night. The big numbers took all of the good mats, the good women, the good the good hunting dogs. So it could be that the government is just looking for a few good men. I mean, think about it that way. There may be another reason for Napolitano frisking you in your underwear. The government could be searching for a whole new super tribe of America. This could be sort of a eugenics type of thing, that they're actually marking the big numbers at the airport in a secret code with a certain code. Maybe they're putting chips in you, and then the big numbers will be spared, and the little numbers will have to run around in an inferior manner. It's not in trickle-up poverty. I didn't see this coming. But it could be that the TSA is looking for a few good men. Let's put it to you that way. Okay? Does that work for you? No? You want to talk calamari? Scungili?
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Let's go to the callers. They're excited about Senator Jay Rockefeller wants the FCC to end Fox and MSNBC because they don't give you the kind of news that he wants you to hear. Ann in Palm Beach, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted you to put a footnote out there. Jay Rockefeller's wife, Sharon Percy Rockefeller, is the CEO of WETA. That's the public television station in Washington, D.C., and the public radio, maybe.
Well, that's the kind of news that Jay likes, the government-controlled news that he approves of.
Apparently, there's not enough money coming for Sharon, though, I guess, if he thinks that he can close down some of the others.
What in the world, Ann, do people of West Virginia think about Jay Rockefeller saying he wants basically government dictatorship of the news?
Well, in West Virginia, that's where I was from originally, they kept Byrd in there forever because they liked the pork coming. West Virginians will tell you he did good for West Virginia. All that was the pork. When Rockefeller came in, they knew he was an outsider, but he spent more money than anyone had ever spent to get elected. So as long as he was pumping his money into the economy, they didn't care. And now, I guess Rockefeller is the senior senator from West Virginia, and he's just, I don't know, trying to take over Byrd's position, but he doesn't wear a hood, so I can't say.
I see. Yeah, well, that's an interesting thing that you just said. He doesn't wear a hood. I know your reference is interesting. But this is the kind of rhetoric you'd expect from somebody who wears a white hood, don't you think?
Oh.
A white sheet would be appropriate clothing for this kind of rhetoric. Thank you for the call. Let me send you a copy of Trickle Up Poverty. Everyone's a winner today. 1-800-449-8255. Sacramento, Dan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Dan?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to let you know that we do listen, and in our family, there's no TV, there is no cable, but there is Savage homework. At 3 o'clock, my 12-year-old son and my 16-year-old son listen to your show for an hour, and when I get home from work, they have to cover 3 points that you made. My
16-year-old- God. That's awful. On one hand, it's a compliment. On another hand, what a responsibility I have now.
My 16-year-old has turned in papers using the terms red diaper, doper baby. And when asked what it means, he said that it's a person with a mental condition who believes they have a political view that matters. 16.
That's a very clever way to put it. Now, Dan, I'm going to send you, how many children do you say you have?
I have two, 12 and 16.
I'm sending you two copies of Trickle Up Poverty so they can have the textbook required. That's required reading for the Savage Nation. That's amazing. But don't let the government hear that you're teaching this to your children, forcing them to listen to the show. They'll be able to take your children away from you. They have to listen to NPR in order to be approved American citizens. UC Board approves 8% fee hikes. They went crazy. The nun students rioted. A day after protests, Board okays plan of 8% fee hike. Bunch of bums. They stopped smoking so much marijuana they could afford the fee hike. What are they screaming? They want free education? I said, when I heard about it, I said, oh, how French. I was at dinner last night. I said, oh, they rioted again over the fee hike at the university? I said, oh, how French. The cost of University of California education is going up 8%. Oh, my. Student fees. We don't want those fees. We want to have the money left over for dope and booze. Boy. And by the way, if you come from a family earning less than $80,000 annually, you don't have to pay any tuition at all. So it's all nonsense. It's all rubbish. It's just rubbish. It's rabble-rousing kids who aren't even students. These kids aren't students. They're learning nothing except how to hate. They go to ruckus camp. Raise it more. Get rid of some of the bums. Get them off the campus altogether. I think college educations are too cheap in the university systems. I mean, private schools charge too much for what they give you, but there's another story. Your dog bites a stranger. Jeff Yang's longtime pooch, Xiao Hu, loses it and attacks someone on the street. So what to do now? Euthanize the dog. That's what you do now. What do you mean, what to do now? You have a bad dog, you put it down. What do you mean, what to do? I don't believe there's bad dogs. I believe that there's bad owners, by the way. I don't know. I never had a dog who bit anyone except the dog who bit me. See, now that's a paradox. If I say that there's no such thing as a bad dog except a bad owner, then you could say, well, aha, you're caught in a conundrum because the dog bit you because of you. In a sense, that is true, but I was 11 years old at the time. And I teased him, so he bit me on the leg. I told you, I don't want to relive it again, the Tippy story. And my little Teddy doesn't bite. Why don't they get the... Wait, they have muzzles now. They're different muzzles than what I had in my day. They're like soft, like green muzzles. Everything's a different world today. Everything's green and soft and gentle and kind. I suppose that's okay. In my day, a muzzle was a muzzle. It was hard leather. It looked like an S&M trip. In other words, the muzzles that they made for dogs in my day looked like a typical S&M creature on San Francisco's Market Street during a parade. That kind of muzzle. How come humans use muzzles like that made of hard leather with studs in it? But for dogs, they make it out of soft material. Talk about a country going to the dogs. A dog could bite through a soft muzzle. It's impossible. But in my day, the muzzle was like, you know, there was a mean dog with him. You even looked at him. You didn't look at him. Because you felt even through the muzzle like it could harm you, deeply harm you. They had those like hard leather, S&M leather with studs in it. I never put a muzzle on Tippy. No. Teddy doesn't have a muzzle. What does he need a muzzle? An attack poodle? My 10-pound toy poodle needs a muzzle? He'd rather have sirloin hamburger than a muzzle. Oh, well, here we are. I'm lightening up already. We're moving into holiday mode. You don't care about fascism. You don't care about Obama trying to give away the store on nuclear arms with Russia. You don't care. Well, you care about the TSA because that's personal. That actually goes back to what Cato the Elder said, which is that the average person doesn't care what the Roman legions are doing in Britannia or in Germania. The average citizen of ancient Rome cared about the pebble in the shoe. Remember how many times I've told you that? What do you mean by the pebble in the shoe? He means having a TSA agent stick her finger into your waistband, for example, that's a pebble in your shoe. That you care about. That touches you. All right, look, let's just drop them down here. Let's cut the nonsense. It's for your own good. All right, okay, drop them, honey. That's all. It's like the women's house of detention, the airports now. Under Janet Reno, the whole nation's become like the women's house of detention on Greenwich Street in Manhattan. Everyone has to like be strip searched on the way in. It's unbelievable. I think it's a reflection of her mentality to a certain extent. She's got to go. They got to dump her. She's the face of this government intrusion. They got to put somebody else in there. I don't care who. I understand that there's a transsexual here in Alameda, California. California has its first superior court, whatever, judge. Sex change operation. Now a judge, you hear? Perfect for Alameda. Perfect. Perfect choice. But I think for the TSA, you can't have a woman and you can't really have a man because it's a gender thing, actually, when you think about it. You may have to have a transgendered head of the TSA now in order to satisfy all sides in this particular problem. Because think about it. If you have a transgendered communist head of the TSA might even be the best. Because the individual could definitely soothe all the sense of... Let's say a transgendered communist who has fascistic tendencies might appeal to all of the different special interests in the United States of America if she were an illegal alien and had half a mustache and only one female body part. Then, okay, I would say most people would go for it. She would certainly meet Obama's criteria for hiring, incidentally. Okay, now I'm getting, getting ridiculous. Now I'm getting kind of in a wacky mood. Giving you glottal rumbles next. Next, you're not going to hear words. You're going to hear glottal rumbles coming from the Savage Nation. You can't see the narrowed eyes. You can see the glottal rumble. You can hear the glottal rumble in my throat. What would you like to talk about? Rockefeller. I did excite you with the rock. Oh, play Nat King Cole, right. Lighten me up with Nat King Cole. Getting a sore throat.
Chestnuts roasting.
Now you're talking. 55 Chevy.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Miserably cold, nasty, ugly New York streets. Nothing to look forward to for years. Years ahead, nothing but despair. Nothing. Nothing to take away the despair. And all of college to go through. Who would have thought I would have arrived where I am today? Alone in a room with a dog talking on a microphone to millions of people. What could be better? It suits me. This is a very bad version. I don't like cheap downloads. Take it off. You know, I'm against all of these free downloads. I don't like the free downloads. They sound like free downloads. You get the CD and you play that one. Not from like some download, a horrible download. I don't want to talk about Rockefeller. I do have I'm a mic. The minute the show's over, I'm getting in the car, going home, getting in bed. I'm pulling the cover up over my chest and I'm watching television. Because I heard chestnuts over an open fire. I want to pull a cover over my chest. Do you ever want to go home and just, like, do nothing? I want to go home and do nothing after the show. What is wrong with doing nothing? I think doing nothing is a very important something to do. In fact, I think doing nothing is probably the most important thing to do at certain times of the year. I mean, the bear does it. Was a bear busy every day looking for honey? In the winter, the bear climbs in the tree, says, pow, honey, man, I'm out of here. I am out of here for the winter. Doesn't kill him. This whole thing about exercise is really ridiculous, incidentally. I used to be fanatic. I gave it up when I was 31. The fanatic running. Run, lean body mass, spinal column showing through back, veins in arm. Almost died of a stroke from running up a hill. I told you, one day I was running in the back of a valley. How long, 31, 32, 30? I don't remember exactly. Young child, feared heart attack every minute. Leave them alone. No, fathers at a certain age, big responsibility. So naturally, you almost induced the heart attack by running too much. It was a fanatic time. A lot of runners were dropping like flies in those years. So I'm running in the back of a dark, horrible valley, and all of a sudden I hear a voice in my head, stop running. Stop running. I thought I had like a schizophrenic, stop running. So if I were a normal person, I would have gone to a doctor and been put on medication. They would have said, you're hearing voices. Instead, I knew it was my inner wisdom saying, stop running. So I stopped running. That's all. It's almost 40 years later, and I still don't run. So what do you mean voices? Sometimes it is you talking to yourself, voices. My mother said to me, God bless her soul, she said, it doesn't matter if you talk to yourself, she said, as long as you don't answer. I didn't quite know what she meant. It sounded funny as a kid. She had a lot of pat phrases that were cute. I didn't even know what half of them meant, but our older people did that. She said it when she was 41, I think, but she was always older. Because when you think about it, right? Everyone was older when you were younger, so it doesn't matter how old they actually were, but 41 wasn't older when you think about it, but she would say things like that. It doesn't matter if you talk to yourself as long as you don't answer. Sounded funny. I've used it as a joke once, such as, what's the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? His enemies. Bang, rim shot. Okay, I mean, that's a joke you could use with any ethnic group. What's the last thing a Sicilian with Alzheimer's forgets? Bing, his enemies. Rim shot. What's the last thing a Jewish person with Alzheimer's forgets? His bank account. Rim shot. No, come on. That was a stereotype. I did it on purpose just to make you listen. What's the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? His beer. No, come on. I feel like Henny Youngman in a bad nightclub. I'm starting to get the feeling that I've gone from appearing in a hall of like 15,000 people. You remember the movie? Do you remember Raging Bull? Does anyone out there, raise your hand if you remember the movie Raging Bull with Scorsese's Raging Bull with De Niro, one of his greatest acting roles in history. Do you remember the end of the movie in Raging Bull when he puts on about 100 pounds and he's in Florida with his wife and kids after he's no longer a boxer? He bought a nightclub on Collins Avenue. That is one of the most brilliantly acted scenes I've ever seen in my life. Where he's telling bad jokes like this to like 15 people in the nightclub. And people are not listening to him. And he gets me and he goes over and gives one of them a belt in the mouth. It's his nightclub and no one's laughing. I mean, that's the image I just had. My dog is even asleep. See, if I was like yesterday and I blew it, I got so crazy angry over the judge, Kaplan, freeing the terrorist that my dog ran out of the room. But I could tell the show is a snooze right now because the dog's sleeping. He knows everything is normal. There's a certain level, up, down, up, down, up, down. The sine curve is within the norm. He knows the high and the low is within the norm, nothing to worry about, right? It's the same with you, frankly. I mean, I know sound well enough to know that if I stay within this norm, you're basically going to go to sleep or turn it over and listen to Mantovani music. You'll search the channels for Nat King Cole or some Christmas shopping music. If I stay within it. But if I got mad, angry, yelled, you'd listen another 5 seconds and it'd put another penny in my pocket. Don't you understand it's crazy to live like this? Did God put me on the earth to live like this with ratings and who's listening? What station am I on? How many people are listening? How many are not listening? How many listen today? Are they going to listen tomorrow? How many stations do you have? You have more stations, less stations. Are they going to hear you, not hear you? How many people heard? Did you hear what I said? I mean, it's nice if you listen, but I mean, at the end of the day, does God really care how many people listen to you on a radio? They want to hear, they'll listen. If they don't want to hear, they'll listen to baseball. That's all. That's what America is, a sports mad nation. I used to laugh at third world nations that were obsessed with soccer. You know, like I looked at them like in a patronizing manner. Oh, look at those South Americans. Oh, look like children listening to, look at that soccer, how they get excited. Guess what? Hello, here we are. A nation of morons. Only it isn't soccer, it's baseball, football, running around. You care what the moron does with the ball. All right, enjoy it. You could say it's bitter grapes because I can't throw a football like that. Have it any way you want. I just go to sleep in sports. Like, well, I don't play tennis. Someone once asked me, why do you play tennis? I said, because it's boring. It's too slow. My mind, who could play tennis? Birdie, shmirdie. I mean, I can't. It's too slow for me. That's the whole. I understand the skill involved. You have to curse the opponent, hit him with a racket, like McEnroe used to do in order to get the ratings to go up. Or run around with skimpy shorts and be sexually, ambiguous. Oh, I have to take a break. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
You're listening to FM Bob on the Savage Nation. This is
Yuletide Carol.
So this is the nice one. This is a nice version of Nat King Cole. I would say this is the kind of voice that Rockefeller would approve of, this kind of music. Is this Bing Crosby no anger about Obama trying to steal America and take away your freedoms. No anger at Napolitano turning the United States of America into the woman's house of detention. All right, drop him, honey. That's all. All right, bend over and drop him. You're in my control now, honey. It's like a massive psychosis what she's done to America. You realize it's all a reflection of Napoleon. There's a madness here. You say, oh, come on now. They're just doing it for your safety. See, I see things in a global context than the average person. For example, when I had Dr. Cohen on years ago, the man who invented the neutron bomb, few people know. He wrote an autobiography called Shame. And he said that his mother was a nut. And his mother was obsessed with cleanliness. Remember now, this is in his own book, Shame, Cohen. And he said, whenever I didn't look good, she'd give me an enema, me vomit. I said, I was reading his autobiography. This is the man who invented the neutron bomb, a genius. So he said, she did this to me over and over again. She purged me with emetics, and she gave me enemas every time I didn't look good. All right, you don't look good. Get in there in the enema. And I couldn't believe it she was going to do to him. Every time he come home from school, all right, I don't like the way you look. Get in there for the enema. It's like, oh, my God, he didn't want to come home. His mother was like a crazy woman from Brooklyn. You're not looking good today. Get in there. Bend over for the enema. So he said, what I did was to get even with her. I got even with the world by inventing a neutron bomb that induces diarrhea and vomiting in millions of people. He wrote that, okay? He understood what happened. So you have to go back to Janet Napolitano's childhood and have an imaginary concept, you know what I'm saying, for why she's strip-searching America. All right, just drop him, honey. I don't want to hear any back talk. You'll get the baton next. That's all. You'll get the baton. Just drop him, honey. Let's not have any back talk, okay? This is the way we do it around here.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
For quality news and entertainment programming. I hunger for quality news. I'm tired of the right and the left. There's a little bug inside of me which wants to get the FCC to say to Fox and to MSNBC, out, off, end, goodbye. Be a big favor to political discourse, our ability to do our work here in Congress, and to the American people to be able to talk with each other and have some faith in their government and in their, more importantly, in their future.
Chestnuts roasting on an open
fire. Hi, this is FM Bob back on the Savage Nation. I've been replaced. Michael Savage is no longer here. He's been taken out by Janet Napolitano, and Jay Rockefeller has removed him because he's been disturbing the peace, disturbing the social order. This is going to be more like China, where our big brothers have taught us how to run a country the right way. Or shall I say the left way? Well, anyway, it's the way the New York Times would want the country to be run. Government news. Kind news. Good news. Friendly news about your government. Peaceful news about Big Brother. And about Big Sister. So there it is. There it is. As we exited last hour in the Savage Nation, we were having a discussion about the psychopathology of the Department of Homeland Security's chief, and why she wants to turn the entire country into the women's house of detention. Because there's no, people are freaking out over it. I mean, you can do it, but like the underwear now, with the pictures, with the frisking and the crotch, I don't have to be this specific. We know already what's going on. You know, the whole country's like a cell block now. Everyone's a prisoner. Everyone's guilty before proven. Everyone's guilty before being proven innocent on the Janet Napolitano, except a visitor with a ticking time bomb inside his burqa from Nairobi. He would be given a special usher job. They're crazy. No, but I want to go back in a serious manner now. I know many of you understand that I'm a serious man underneath all of the humor, because I have to have humor. I go crazy altogether. When you hear Jay Rockefeller calling for the end of news as we know it, to go back to the days of Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather, and worse yet, Walter Crankenhouse. So I grew up on Walter Cronkite, Crankenhouse. Little did I know he was crazy and a left-wing nut. I had no idea. And this is the news tonight. I thought it was the news. Then when I got older, I researched what the word news meant, north, east, west, and south. I said, oh, that makes sense. I like that. Like the weather vane, and it's happenings that are coming from north, east, west, and south. And I enjoyed knowing that. So I was originally I was interested in the news as a child, but I didn't know it. I wasn't allowed to know that. In other words, nobody I knew went into the news business. It was only for people with a lesser intelligence. In other words, in the world I was in, only a person with a lower intelligence could even think about becoming a newspaper reporter. So I wasn't even, couldn't think of such a career. Or an actor, for example. An actor was the equivalent of a prostitute in my household. No one could, like, let's say I was a kid who liked to entertain. I did have a natural sense. But if I went and said, Ma, I want to be an actor, I didn't even think of it. She would have said, no, that's not for you. You know, you don't want to be an actor. That's for prostitutes or something. Like, she wouldn't have said that. But the implication was it was for lower. Well, take a look at Larry David. What else could he have done? Take a look at half the people in the entertainment business. What else could they do? Nothing. It's not to say I don't enjoy entertainment and entertaining. I do. But I can only work it in the midst of the serious stuff, or I wouldn't do this at all. Then I'd have a lower image of myself. And my image, my self-image is kind of important, because I have to have a certain image of myself. So in other words, so the serious part of my mind is analyzing Janet Reno from the point of view of why she has an animus towards the American people, number one. And number two, what's this with wanting to frisk all of the people of the United States, men and women? So then I told you a story about Mr. Sam Cohen, the genius who developed the neutron bomb, who wrote an autobiography called Shame. I swear to God, it exists. I'm one of the few people in the world who read it. And in Shame, he talks about the fact that his mother was crazy, a nut from Brooklyn, probably the same mother that Judge Kaplan had, who just released the terrorists who would cut his throat and throw him down a well. And the mother, you don't look good, get in here, you're having an enema. I mean, he wrote it. I'm not making it up just to be funny. He was afraid to come home and look bad. He would, like, put rouge on his cheeks to look healthy for fear of another enema. She did it all the time. Enemas, purgatives, vomiting. She did this to him over and over again. She was crazy. Sort of like a Munchausen by proxy syndrome. Instead of fearing that a child was sick, she made him sick. To cure him, she made him sicker. So he couldn't take the vomiting. So he said he grew up, he thinks, and developed a neutron bomb, which induces vomiting and diarrhea in people before they die from the radiation poisoning. He wrote that. So I thought that was very interesting. So now I make the connection to other maniacs in the government now, high-level lunatics and what they do. When they have the power, what do high-level lunatics do, and what happened in their childhood to induce them to do it? Can you follow me in my Aristotelian logic here? We're working together. We're trying to figure out her psychopathology for her. Poor woman. So now the whole country is the women's house of detention. Your grandmother, a nun, a child in a wheelchair, a kid like a polio, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, braced kid, whatever. Doesn't matter. You're all guilty. Just drop your shorts. That's all. Everyone. All right. Like, don't give me any back talking. You'll get the baton. So the whole country's freaking out, and she raises the stakes. It's like Nancy Pelosi. I whip, and I'm going to have the job no matter what. I didn't cause it. Everyone loves me. It's like Obama. I don't care what I'm trying. I'm signing the START Treaty. I don't care what happened. I didn't do it. They love me. Everyone tells me I'm terrific. Everyone likes me. And so therefore, I'm going ahead with the treaty. I'm going ahead with this. I'm going to do that. Affirmative action, illegal aliens in your schools, in your soup. It doesn't matter. I don't care how many seats we lose. I told you this would happen. So now you have to look at the pathology of this administration. They're all sick in the head. Why? Liberalism is a mental disorder, number one. We elected all mentally disordered liberals. That's all. They're sick. They're mentally ill, these people. The problem is we're stuck with them. Now, I know Jay Rockefeller wouldn't appreciate this because it's not considered polite discourse. I understand that. that they would like to give me a little hemlock for even saying this. Hemlock is not my favorite tea. I am a tea drinker, and I know the tea party today is very popular, but there are varieties of tea and varieties of tea party people, you know, from Dick Army all the way to the real McCoy. And I will truthfully, you know, the Dick Army tea is called Kool-Aid. Dick Army's tea party has a certain tea blend called Kool-Aid, while the other tea parties are the real McCoy, and they like me. So here we are in the world of Soros land. And you have to ask yourself, who's behind Big Sis's detention camp? Someone just wrote me and said it's like Cell Block H. The whole country has become like Cell Block H. In fact, it's probably a good title. Cell Block H. In other words, a lot of government officials, like look at Bush, how good he just did with his book. He said book signing. You know how many mirrors they've had to set up into various bookstores for him? Because when he signs like the same way he spoke, he signs like right to left, so therefore the mirror has to be there for it to come out right. Think about it. 772,000 copies in a week. That's very impressive. Think of all the people who drank his Kool-Aid. They want his book. Yes, please, I want the book. Yes, please, I want his book. Yes, please, I want Bush's book. Yes, please, I want to read the book. Yes, please, I want to see how good he was. Yes, he's sorry he didn't find WMDs. He's sorry he had to kill a few hundred thousand Iraqis. He didn't mean it. Didn't mean to kill Saddam and the boys. Yes, please, I want the book. Yes, please, I want the book. Sorry I poisoned the Tigris and the Euphrates. Yes, please, I want the book. They reinvented him. Hannity, Wallbanger goes down there. They're all running down there. O'Reilly, O'Hannity, I forget their name. Limbaugh, they can't. Kool-Aid, all the Kool-Aid. Yes, please, I want the book. Suddenly he's the greatest. And you didn't appreciate him if you only look back in the proper way. Compared to Obama, I wish you'd turn it back. What a great president. I heard the same nonsense when Clinton was out of office. Remember all the years Bush was in power? Man, we had good years under Clinton. Now it's like, oh, wow, that Bush was pretty great. So what if he couldn't talk and he caused wars and set the entire hornet's nest of Islamic extremism again? Doesn't matter. He meant well. Doesn't matter that he caused Iran to expand into a global empire. He didn't mean to do it. He didn't mean to knock down the one enemy of Iran that could have kept them contained was Saddam Hussein. He didn't mean to destroy his entire regime. He made a little mistake, that's all. But he didn't mean it. Yes, please, I want the book. Yes, please, sign the book. Right here, here's the mirror. Yes, please, I want the book. So it's not limited to Janet Napolitano and Obama and the czars. The madness occurs in anyone who runs for a high office. To about the 98th percentile, anyone who would go through that to become a... I read about this years ago when I considered politics. I used to read books on this thing. Basically, people who are insecure, people who like power over others, and people who can't do anything else go into politics. I know, you don't want to face it. That's why they don't want talk radio anymore either. What do you think? The members of Arista went into politics? Who would want to give speeches day and night to be elected from strangers? Who would want to shake hands? I don't even like to shake hands with my family like for Thanksgiving. It's like I'm very Chinese about that. I put my hands inside my cuffs and bow. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not my custom. I don't need your germs on my hand. It's like, why don't we go to a movie theater in New York and get a bed bug when I could stay home in California and watch 30 movies a week on Comcast? You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. I mean, why do I want to shake your hand? That's the reason I don't want to become a politician. You have to talk. You have to raise money from people who are totally, totally devious. And then you have to shake too many hands and you touch babies. And all the babies today, you know, a lot of illnesses, if you have young children, you happen to know they bring it home from the preschool. That's the locus is the preschool. It's not to do with the illegal aliens. It was here before that. No, only that's only the cholera and the lice. The head lice only came in with the illegals. That's all. Not the cholera. But the virus, the plain virus was always inherent and endemic in that population. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. You'll find out how stupid you are. Go look into why TB is proliferating again in America. Go look into why cholera is now proliferating in America. Go look and see diseases that were wiped out in America are now back. It's all because of your good friends. That's right. The constituency of the Democrat Party. Just sign here. That's all. So anyway, to get back to the main point, analyzing the psychopathology of Janet Napolitano is actually a wonderful thesis for a master's degree in criminology. And we'll continue when I come back.
Savage. As Ronald Reagan said, we have to trust, but we also have to verify. In order for us to verify, we've got to have a treaty. The New START Treaty is also a cornerstone of our relations with Russia. And this goes beyond nuclear security. Russia has been fundamental to our efforts to put strong sanctions in place, to put pressure on Iran to deal with its nuclear program.
And how that
it's
worked out.
It's been critical in supporting our troops in Afghanistan through the Northern Distribution Network. It's been critical in working with us to secure all vulnerable nuclear materials around the world.
How that worked out.
To enhance European security.
How that worked out. So now we learned from Obama that Russia has put pressure on Iran to contain its nuclear ambitions, and Russia now supports our troops in Afghanistan, and Russia secures nuclear materials, and Russia has enhanced European security. You have heard of one lie after another, in my opinion. I realize that Jay Rockefeller doesn't want this kind of discourse because he considers it to be inflammatory. He'd rather have some stooge from NPR that he can control say the president today gave an important signature speech on the relationships between the United States and Russia that is simply brilliant in every aspect and certainly truthful. And now we'd like to hear from the president himself. I mean, that's the kind of news you want. I suppose that's what you want. You want to hear more of that? I cannot believe it. But you don't care about that. Listen to Nancy Pelosi in clip 15. This is even better. Listen to
this
one.
How would your ratings be if $75 million were spent against you? Because I'm an effective leader, because we got the job done on health care and Wall Street reform and
play
consumer
Fredo
protections,
after this.
The list goes on.
You can
on.
Dig up Fredo.
Because
you got
they
it,
know
Charlie?
That I'm the person that can attract the resources, both intellectual and otherwise, to take us to victory, because I have done it before.
So now she has intellectual resources. I wonder, what intellectual resources does Nancy Pelosi refer to? He sounds like Fredo in that one. It's a bad sound, admittedly. Do you have Fredo from The Godfather?
Would it work well? Things, I'm smart. Oh. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
That's it? That's the whole thing? Come on, guys. There's a longer version. You're not giving me the full thing tonight. Give me a whole Fredo. Give me the entire Fredo. Hit the button that says Fredo.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
How would your ratings be if $75 million were spent against
you?
All
right. Well, you get the picture. That's all. That's all. I'm glad she's got the job again. Keeps her occupied. That's all. She gets to use the Air Force jets for another year or two. We don't need the jets anyway. They don't use them. They don't drop any bombs anymore with them. I think they should assign a battleship, a battle cruiser, a whole aircraft carrier to Barbara Boxer. Actually, would be a good use of it. They named a ship after her. I couldn't believe it. I almost puked. A number of years ago, I went to like a ship's christening. The Boxer? The most anti-military senator in history. A woman who detests a man in uniform. They name a ship after her. Well, that's what you got to do. You want the money, then you got to go to them. That's all. But no, but I think Barbara Boxer should have an entire aircraft carrier assigned to her to move her around, in that she needs it. She needs it in order to do her work for the American people. And I think Nancy Pelosi should have more fighter jets escort her around, because she needs to do her work for the American people. Son-in-law, whatever he may need, wants to go golfing in Cabo San Lucas. You know, send him a small, like a Gulfstream. Remember, she got mad that they only gave her a G4? She demanded a G550. Then she escalated to actual military jets. Even the G550 was no longer good enough for her. It wasn't, you know, extreme enough. And the list of booze they drink, it's so cheap. Johnny Walker this, Johnny Walker that. It's like, who drinks that stuff? I don't know anyone who drinks anymore.
Savage. Give it to me, and hopefully I will share it with others tonight. And I just hope, no matter what you decide, please make certain that my name, notwithstanding the imagination that some people may have, that There's no way to stretch this, that I was a corrupted individual, or that I would bring shame to my family, to my community, to this Congress, and certainly to the country. I'll rest it up to you as to what is fair in terms of sanction.
I really actually like Charlie Rangel. All of them. I don't always like Charlie Rangel. I don't know what it is about him. There was something about his mannerisms that I like. But I'll put aside my own, you know, I know he wrote the tax laws and didn't pay taxes. That was a bit of a violation. But, you know, you got to expect that from the tax man. What do you think he would write tax law for? Who would go into the business of wanting to write tax law because someone wants to evade taxes? I mean, you're not using common sense. Who goes into the business of strip searching you? Who would be one who had his TSA unless somebody wanted to strip you down at an airport and humiliate you? Next, they should put in showers. You get naked now and go into showers at the airport. They can put up Arbeit macht frei at each test. No, they could put up new German things. Arbeit macht frei, they could change it into a new German instead of work makes you free. They could say stripping makes you free. I don't know the German word for stripping down naked. Self-immolation makes you free. And they could put little, you know, nice German sayings like Chinese fortune cookies over each TSA. Let each TSA agent, in other words, select something from the 1930s from Germany to put over the booth, over the thing that you go in, you know, instead of Arbeit macht frei, because you're not working. Humiliation makes you free. Subjugation makes you free. Freedom is slavery. Slavery is freedom. I mean, things like that would work. A mixture of Orwell and Hitler would be very nice to put over each inspection booth. I think that they are going to have to dismiss Janet Napolitano. Not only is she an abject failure to stop Islamic terrorism at every turn, but now she's turning on the American people because we're easier. There's nothing new about this. This is what happens when you create a cowardly division of the government. Of course they're not going to go after the hard targets. They go after the women and children and old people in wheelchairs. That's exactly how it works. This isn't the first time. You know, I hate to say it because I basically support the police, but you take a look at the highways. Who do you think they pull over? The guys with the tattoos or the MS-13 members bringing in drugs? You don't see them on the side of the road. You see a scared woman in a Prius with two guys with Glocks next to her. It's terrible. This is what happens with intrusive government. Yeah? Jay Rockefeller already on the phone. Hello, Mike. Cut it out. You're disturbing the peace. I was looking for that chapter on Napolitano. I don't have a chapter on it other than she should be fired. In my manifesto, my 27-37 points, I do say it. I mean, I can't take it back. I can't rewrite the book. Point number 10, fire Janet Napolitano. It's on page 304 of Trickle Up Poverty. Let me read the paragraph. Give me your attention for a minute. Pressure Janet Napolitano to be removed from office. She has demonstrated her incompetence in Homeland Security. She's failing to uphold the illegal immigration laws already on the books. And she has suspended the construction of a fence along the border, despite the fact that federal law mandates it. Okay. Now, let's talk about the damage that illegal immigrants are doing to the country, irrespective of Mr. Gutierrez, the congressman from La Raza. Here's an article I just posted. Cholera and dengue fever. State health officials issue warnings of two diseases in Florida. Now, both cholera and dengue fever used to be endemic in Florida. They were wiped out. But now Florida is witnessing incidents of cholera and dengue fever that they've not experienced in decades. You have to read the whole article to get to the truth where it's coming from foreign countries. You have to read the whole thing. And you have to read the whole article to get to the truth of it because the journalists, so-called, are intimidated to write anything. Paragraph 12. Seven of those cases were in Hillsborough County. All seven, say officials, were people bringing the disease from another country. In each case, the person was identified, and spraying in that person's neighborhood was intensified to kill mosquitoes. You hear? Instead of throwing them out of the country, they sprayed and killed the mosquitoes. And then they go on. And all it takes is one of those mosquitoes in a household and a bunch of people get sick. Oh, really? That's how a disease spreads? No kidding. You're doing a great job, is it? Says Dr. Carlos Fernandez, director of the Mosquito Control Office, a real genius. He figured out that one of those mosquitoes that bites someone with dengue can then bite you and you can get it. a real genius. Where did he get his PhD from Haiti? So here's more government officials. As for cholera, the best advice, say health officials, is to wash your hands frequently and see your doctor if you begin to exhibit symptoms. That's great advice. Cholera is now in Florida and dengue fever as a result of illegal immigrants. The main thing that cholera is coming in from is relief workers being exposed to disease and coming back to Florida. Instead of inspecting them, you know, and you have dengue, put him in quarantine. Oh, yes, I can't say quarantine. That's from the dark ages in America when we had quarantine. Oh, man. No, it's better that a million people get dengue fever than one innocent person be put in quarantine. That's how Judge, whatever his name was, would think. That's how left-wingers think. It is better than 100. I used to hear this from the socialists in New York, the Garment Center people who would read the commie literature. They'd say, it is better that 100 guilty go free than one innocent man should be locked up. So I say, really, does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. Better than 99 guilty people go free than one man who is innocent should be locked up, they would say. Whew, that made great sense. So that's why Judge Kaplan released the guy on 278 charges. Wouldn't even let the guy testify. Gave him the TNT to blow up the embassy. And because this is, Judge Kaplan is a red diaper doper baby. Red diaper doper baby. So now the health officials say, it is better that a million people get dengue fever than one innocent person who's carrying it be quarantined. Okay, that's great. That's why we have no country, because you have idiots running everything. You have morons, idiots, psychopaths following the doxies of liberalism. All right, just bend over. That's all. Don't give me any back talk. You're now in cell block TSA. This is the TSA. Tough Sadist Association. TSA. That's the new acronym. Tough Sadist Association. All right, don't give me any back talk. Get out of that wheelchair. That's all. But I can't get up. My legs don't work. All right, get them over here. They blow the whistle. They tape you. Right away, they lift. I can't lift me. My legs don't work. I'm crippled, man. I just don't. All right, don't give me that talk. What are you, a terrorist? We don't know. We know there's no Islamic terrorism. We know there's wheelchair terrorism. There's childhood terrorism. There's middle-aged women terrorism. There's nuns who are terrorists. That's right. That's our new target audience. We're doing profiling now. Nuns, chill-aged women with blue hair, everyone else. That's it. You're now all guilty until proven innocent by Janet Napolitano's armed corps. Then you give them weapons next. There's the army that Obama's been calling for. There's Barney Frank's army. TSA. Maybe when Barney retires, he can take, you know, like there's guys who have like honorary sheriff's badges. They like to do like riding around with police at night. There's nothing wrong with it. I know a lot of guys, they're nice guys. You know, they're at night, they're bored, they don't want to watch TV or whatever. So they get the local sheriff to give them a badge and they ride around at night with the cops, at night with the cops. When Barney retires, he could become an honorary TSA officer at Logan International. And he can get to put his fingers inside people's... you could hire... I'll tell you another one. You could be advisor to this. Someone who knows a lot about where you can hide things in underwear. Sandy Berger. Socks, underwear. He's an expert on how to like get through things with like documents in the underwear. I think the TSA could hire Sandy Berger as a consultant on where to look for things inside underwear and socks. Barney Frank would probably have an angst that don't make money and he doesn't go to jail. Florida, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what a pan-Leninist is.
It's a Leninist who uses a crepe pan to make pancakes. A pan-Leninist means, a pan means global when you say pan. Think of the word pan means a widespread. So when you say someone is a socialist, it's usually a socialist limited to a nation, an individual who's focused on a nation. You say someone is a Leninist, you're generally referring to someone who wants to impose Leninism in their nation or in their political system. I coined the phrase pan-Leninist for Obama in trickle-up poverty to describe the fact that he's part of an international movement that wants to impose Leninism on all the populations on the earth that still enjoy relative freedom. And we see it coming from every one of the rats on the left. Even wherever you turn, whether it's at the TSA stripping your mother down, or it's Senator Rockefeller wanting Fox News and MSNBC turned off because they were a little too truthful in their own way, or let's say too extreme. You understand what I'm saying? They want pan-Leninism where the elites control the world. When I say elites, I don't say it in a manner of respect. I say it in a manner of disrespect. Because the word elites unto itself I don't like. I don't like the word elite because it puts them on a pedestal. You take a look at Thomas Friedman, a B brain at his best from the New York Times. You could see him when he talks. You know he's not the smartest. You know he's not the brightest, whatever. You know that the guy's just simply a writer for a newspaper. He is a guy who extols the dictatorship of China and holds it up as a role model. And we're increasingly seeing left-wingers looking to China as a model for our government. Now, as you well know, China is a communist dictatorship. Are you agree with me on that thus far? Are you still on the line or not? He dropped. Okay. So China's a communist dictatorship, and yet you have increasing numbers of Democrats saying that China's good, China's got a good government. Soros says it's a better government. Thomas Friedman, whoever he may be for the New York Times, says it's a better government. Woody Allen says it's a shame I quote Woody Allen in Trickle Up Poverty, where he says it's a shame Obama can't be a dictator for a little while because he can get so many good things done. That's Woody Allen now. Another one, another psycho, another left winger, another red diaper dopa baby, although talented, doesn't matter. They're all fanatic left-wing dictators. They like a dictatorship of the left. And they don't even understand what they have become. You know, I can become Jesus-like and say, forgive him, Father, for he does not know, you know, how he sins. There's Woody Allen, probably thinks he's better than any nasty Neanderthal right-winger who shoots guns, you know, any nasty policeman with a nightstick who would defend him to his death if, God forbid, he was attacked while he's walking out of a bad nightclub or a bad bar in the upper, wherever he goes, wherever he lives. Here's Woody Allen, who hates the very people he would have to depend upon to defend them, including the soldiers. Here he's saying, it'd be nice if Obama could be a dictator for a while so many good things could be done. Here's Thomas Friedman, another red diaper dopa baby from New York, saying that China's a good model because it's an enlightened group of leaders who do the right thing. Then we have every day now, one after the other, the left wing is saying China's the new model for society. Don't you liberals understand where you are going? Don't you understand that you have become your own worst enemy? When are you liberals going to wake up to the fact that liberalism in its extremes is a mental disorder, number one? You know it in your heart. Don't call me. You only have to look in the rearview mirror of the car that you may be driving when I say it to know you're on medication. And you know that you're a sick person. Very bad. That's why your wife left you. It's why your daughter doesn't talk to you. That's why your son is living in Italy. And the reason is because you're a very sick person. And you understand it. And that your liberal politics are a reflection of your fear of someone finding you out for who you are and what you've done. Welcome back to the callers. Karen in New Hampshire, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Michael. I was trying to be succinct here to say that you're such a hero, because when I hear Senator Rockefeller speaking, I feel like my ideas are 180 degrees. I think that your listeners are hungering for, you know, not just the rest of the story, but the real roots of the story, so that we can get active and really work for, you know,
well, we threw 60 of the Democrat bums out, and now the left wing is getting even more vicious than it has been before. You've got Rockefeller wanting the FCC to end Fox News because the political discourse is not polite enough for him. His wife runs an NPR station in Washington, we learned today. That's his idea of legitimate news.
Right, and we're sick of spending, and we're sick of scrubbed, censored news.
Well, Karen, I have an entire chapter on the propaganda ministry under Obama and trickle-up poverty. I'm sending it to you so you can stuff yourself with the truth over the holidays. Michigan, Debbie, you're up on the Savage Nation. What do you think about Rockefeller wanting to end Fox News? Hello, Debbie. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. It's interesting how Senator Rockefeller made the statement when he did. I had heard that Obama fell a little bit out of grace with George Soros, and I'm wondering if George Soros perhaps made a call to Rockefeller.
Well, I wouldn't know. We can never figure that one out. But something's very odd that after they lose so many seats, they're asking for the FCC to get rid of Fox News. And it's coming from Senator Rockefeller, Democrat, West Virginia. Isn't it interesting that the Democrats want a censorship of the news that's being reported in this country? They want a kind of homogenous news feed coming out of the government or of the networks, which is the equivalent, ABC, CBS, and NBC. Okay, you're a winner. You get TUP. It's up to you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to New York City on WOR. Tom, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
God bless you, Michael, and I'll pray for your strength to continue fighting for the red, white, and blue. Michael, I think the answer is easy. I want my airplane to be filled with people that have security clearance. We should have people that go through a retina. They have retina clearance, DNA, fingerprints. They get an easy pass to fly. I'll take my chances with you.
So you'd also like to have a urine analysis done on the spot and a stool sample? I think that you're right. I think that the next thing that TSA should do is demand stool samples and urine analysis on, you know, instant urine analysis and stool samples at the airport in public. Because there's no other way to beat the Islamic fascists than to strip search the entire American population, Tom. You're absolutely right.
God bless you, Michael. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, there's no reason that they can't do a urine analysis for bombs inside your bladder. You know, that would be that part of the psychopathology I was talking about. If she suspects the person, why limit it to the underwear area? Why not the internal person? This is the logic. I mean, you have to understand how Janet Napolitano thinks. You notice if she can get away with having to put the fingers inside the underwear and the crotch, the next step is the internal. So now she has to do, well, now we've gotten that far, but wait a minute, she must lay awake at night with her friends. Well, look, we got him down. We got him down to the underwear. Where do we go next? Well, what about the urine? How do you know they're not carrying in their bladder? That's right. All right, we're going to bring in urine analysis at the airports. Well, that's pretty good. But what about the other part of the body, number two? Why can't you check number two? You got a little cups. All right, we're going to do number one and number two right there in the booth. Don't even give them any privacy. We'll get down to the bottom of it. As far as I'm concerned, every American is guilty until proven innocent. What about women and children in wheelchairs? Nah, they can hide a bomb in them, too. There is no terrorism except amongst the American people themselves. They hate us. They hate us. Look what's going on out there. They all hate me, and they hate us. It shows they're terrorists and no good. If it wasn't for that rotten Fox News and talk radio, nobody would even know what's going on. They would have submitted to this a long time ago. That's right. That's right. We're doing urine analysis now. We're going to do stool samples random at the airport. That's what we're doing. That's how we're going internal next, going from the external to the internal. Cell Block H on the Janet Napolitano. Be a heck of a movie, right? Like a B movie from the 40s. Cell Block H starring Janet Napolitano.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, here's what's happening in the world of the Savage Nation. What a day. The big news, by the way, is not being reported by the media. which is that the World Trade Center bombing suspect was acquitted. He was acquitted because a red diaper doper baby judge appointed by Bill Clinton, named Kaplan, I believe, was used as a useful tool in the first civilian trial that I know of. And we got exactly what we expected, which is that the terrorist was released. So that's what's going on in America. There's also a lot of other news out there. Senator Rockefeller, don't you know, Democrat, wants the FCC to close down Fox News and MSNBC because they're ruining political discourse. Senator Jay Rockefeller, this is unbelievable to me, Democrat Socialist West Virginia, says that we need new catalysts for quality news. He hungers for quality news. He said he's tired of the right and the left, and he wants the FCC to say to Fox and NBC, get off the air, goodbye. He says it would be a big favor to political discourse, and it would help our ability to do our work here in Congress, to be able to talk with each other and have the American people have faith in the government. Can you believe this? This is astounding. I can't believe what I'm reading. But that's also what's going on under the Nancy Pelosi regime. Speaking of Pelosi, Pelosi came back and complained about the money spent against her. And she praised herself for her leadership. And she said she led America to new historic heights. And she's going to do even more. Bonnie Frank
says the right wingers are damaging America. And the right wing is damaging America.
Okay, so things are going to get hotter before they get cooler here in the world of the crazy Democrat socialists. Well, we have it all for you on the Savage Nation. Now let's go to michaelsavage.com and take a look at what's on the little website that could. America's Third War, Texas Strikes Back. They crossed the border with AK-47s on their backs, wearing military camouflage. They recruit in prisons and schools on the American side. You know what we're talking about, don't you? The friends of the U.S. government, the illegal alien armies. And so Texas is taking the law that they have in their own hands since the government's taken the side of the enemy. America's Third War, Texas Strikes Back. And at the Texas Department of Public Safety is taking men up into the air with helicopters to fight Mexican drug cartels. The cartels, they say, wear military camouflage, sneak across the border with AKs, recruit in prisons and schools on the American side. Spotters sit in duck blinds along the Rio Grande and call out the positions of the U.S. Border Patrol. And now Texas is using tactical strike teams to fight back. And they say they're in a war. They're in a war. And yet the government seems to be on the side of the other side. President Barack Obama and Homeland Security Secretary Janet Friskin Napolitano have said, though, the Mexican border is more secure now than it has been in 20 years. Wow. That's amazing. More secure now than it's been in 20 years. Well, anyway, the Arizona Sheriff's illegal alien crackdown posse is another story. Arizona has now created a posse, an immigration posse, to combat illegal immigration, and Hollywood actors have signed up, including Steven Seagal and the Hulk, believe it or not. So there it is. Soros says China has a better functioning government than the U.S. This is all on michaelsavage.com. Democrats commit Harry Caray and keep Pelosi the San Francisco liberal. New York City WOR Joe. Come on, help us here, Joe. What's going on with you?
Doc, I thought you would get a kick out of a story. About an hour ago, I'm listening to your show in horrendous traffic.
Uh-huh.
So I sidetracked to go down through Greenwich Village, and I thought, well, God put me here for a reason. So I opened all my windows on a beautiful Indian summer night, and you broadcast your show to Washington Square Park as I had to make my way around.
Oh, God, it brings back my beatnik days.
Oh, you would have. The looks were priceless.
Well, what I mean? You mean they heard the show coming into Washington Square Park out of your car radio on OR? What they say?
Well, I'm listening to the radio, and rather than blaring music to the radio, I'm blaring your mellifluous tones out into the night, and people recognized you, and you were talking about the president, you were talking about Marxism, and I guess their ears perked up when they heard Marx.
Marx, yes, because that's something they respond to like little dogs.
So it was.
Well, most of them go to NYU, or they were dropouts from NYU for drug charges. If they don't throw themselves out of the dormitory, God forbid, they drop out.
Exactly.
Why does NYU have such a high dropout and fallout rate, I wonder? What's going on in that school? So you have beautiful weather there in the park, yeah? Real balmy night with the guitars. But the days of the beatniks are over, right? I mean, there are no beatniks left in the park. That was 50 years ago.
No, they've cleaned it up.
What's in Washington Square Park these days?
I did not get out. I saw quite a lot of people walking around, a lot of dogs walking around. There's a dog run.
Normal people now, not what the drug dealers used to be there.
But Brady,
I am sending you two free copies of Trickle Up. I'll be right back.
Savage.
With Charlie Rangel found guilty of ethics violations, the image of our government has gone lower and lower and lower. Another Democrat, another scandal. How many people are really surprised that this happened? Huh? Joining us now is Dr. Grace Vuitto with the Edmund Burke Institute, who has an article entitled The Character Deficit. Dr. Grace, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Why did you write the article?
Well, Michael, I have to say, I'm absolutely appalled at the rampant corruption that we are seeing in American society today. That corruption is not just on Capitol Hill, but it's in our major industries, and it's in the financial sector. Recently, as you know, the House Ethics panel found a Charlie Rangel, Democratic lawmaker, guilty on 11 counts of ethics violations.
Mm-hmm.
And soon, in 1 month, another congresswoman will be tried, California Democrat Maxine Waters, on ethics violations. The House is also investigating misuse of funds by lawmakers who spent government money irresponsibly while they traveled overseas. So, you know, it's no surprise to the American voters that Capitol Hill is full of a bunch of crooks. And that's why we're having these elections, which are basically like seesaws. You know, we're going from the Republicans who were voted out of office in 2006 because the public was so disgusted with all the corruption. Then the Democrats come in saying, we're going to clean house because we're disgusted with all the corruption. And the public is saying, once again, no, you guys are just as corrupt, and we're trying to get the Republicans back in to clean up this mess. So it is very, very clear that the public is disgusted with the very, very high levels of corruption that we're seeing on Capitol Hill.
Well, corruption of this kind couldn't have been on the mind of our founding fathers.
Our founding fathers were very, very wise. And I would say that at this point, they would be telling us, we told you so, in the sense that they warned us that if we didn't heed their warnings, if we didn't keep government small, if we didn't uphold all the checks and balances that they had created for our republic, that eventually we would create a very corrupt ruling class. So our founding fathers would say, I'm not surprised that this is happening to you because you didn't heed our fundamental warnings. We created limited government, especially because we know, as students of history, that once government expands, you have a decrease in civic virtue. Essentially, as the government grows, more and more people want to have a stake in the central government, and there is much more goodies to be dispersed, and they are corrupted. Therefore, they would be saying to us, I am not at all surprised that you are currently experiencing what you are experiencing.
Well, how much worse can this corruption get?
You know what? This corruption is now, it's a pandemic in our society. It's not just rooted to government. Look at what has recently happened in the financial sector. The FDIC has just said that they are going to launch 50 criminal investigations into the banking sector. Remember when we used to say, you know, money is as good as it is in the bank, as good as in the bank used to be a word that we would use to say that this is something you can absolutely trust. So our banking sector and our financial sector is suspect. Furthermore, if you look at the recent Gulf oil spill, this is the worst environmental damage, the worst environmental disaster in our history. You have a recent report that said that the captains of industry were remiss. They were reckless. And this wasn't just BP.
but it was some of the other companies involved, like Halliburton, who provided the cement, or Transocean, who provided, who was actually the owner of the rig, and the regulators too. So the point is this. We have a pandemic of corruption in our society. It's not just in the political class. It's also all across the financial sector, and it's all across our capitalist economy.
What is the big lie?
Well, look, the left has tried to tell us that to discuss whether or not government should be big or small, it's really just a matter of ideological debate, that we can, you know, agree to disagree on this topic. That is a huge lie in this sense. Our republic was founded on one fundamental consensus, that is, government must be small. It must be limited. This is why the founding fathers overthrew the monarchy. And so when the left tries to tell us that the expansion of government is a debate that we can have, as though we're talking about something very benign, what they are really doing is they are assaulting the very consensus upon which our republic was founded.
No, I've been saying this for years. Why is this not clear to the voters?
Well, look, Michael, you know what happens? When the central government expands, it invariably creates a propaganda arm, right? And we've seen this happen over and over again in the totalitarian states, in Nazi Germany, in Soviet Russia. Well, the point is that in our own republic, even though obviously we have much more freedom than those societies, we've nonetheless created a propaganda arm, and that is an education system. The education system today perpetuates the myth, the notion that there is so much that we can disagree on regarding what our fathers did and said. So basically, the education system is bamboozling the American people regarding what the founding documents of this society were all about. It tries to cast doubt, cast aspersions on some of the cardinal principles that are as clear as black and white regarding our founding fathers.
How did we get to this point?
Well, you know, it's just such a remarkable transformation. If you consider that when George Washington took power, he said, and this is a direct quote, government is force. Like fire, it is a fearful master and a dangerous servant. So what he was basically saying is that government, by its very definition, is there to be coercive to some extent. It is there to curb freedom. And that's why it has to be kept in a very tight box. Well, look at the difference. By the time we get to the George of the 21st century, George W. Bush, he said we can have such a thing as a compassionate government, a government that can be on the side of the people to bring about positive changes in their lives. Essentially, in the last while, what we have seen happen is that we have transformed the very understanding of what government is.
What do you mean?
Whereas our founding fathers knew that government was very dangerous and had to be kept limited, by the time we get to George W. Bush, he thinks we can actually use it as a lovable force in people's lives, as a lovable influence, as a lovable tool. And so this is the dramatic sea change that we have. And by the time you get to President Barack Obama, he says, you know what, if the conservatives say that the government can be used, even if they have, you know, fundamentally abrogated this founding principle, what I say is let's multiply that by 1 trillion and 1 billion and 1 million and whatever outrageous sums he's been tacking on to our debt and deficit.
I mean, I talk about Obama's pan-Leninist agenda in my book, Trickle Up Poverty. What do you think's the difference between Obama and past big government presidents?
Well, you know, I think that he is different because of the sheer magnitude, the sheer scale at the recent expansion that we've seen. In one sense, we could say that he is certainly just an outgrowth of the previous leader. Since the 1930s, what we've seen in America is the relentless expansion of government. However, by the time we get to Barack Obama, I refer to him as our Star Trek president. He seems like a person really from another planet. We look at him and we say, you know what? you don't seem to convey any recognizable American values. And so that's why he's just had the recent shellacking. We're basically punishing him. We're basically saying, Mr. Star Trek President, we don't recognize this as belonging to us. This is not us. The harsh reality, though, the harsh truth of the matter is that I think that Americans, we don't really recognize ourselves anymore. We have a society in which the government is vast, and like during the Roman Empire and other periods of decay, when the government is vast, there is invariably a decline in civic virtue. And as civic virtue declines, there is rampant corruption and really a sense that we have lost our way. We have gone adrift.
Where can we read more?
Your listeners can read my piece called The Character Deficit at the Edmund Burke Institute.org, and they can click onto the link that is called And the Founding Fathers Said. What they will find is that I am saying that right now we have a great depression in our midst. It is called the Great Depression of Character. The biggest deficit that we face today is a character deficit.
Dr. Grace, thanks for the report, and thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
This is exactly what I write about in Trickle Up Poverty. Read it, get informed on what is going on and what you can do to stop an obtrusive government.
Savage.
Hey, what are you going to do about Thanksgiving? I say stuff yourself with the truth. Read Trickle Up Poverty. Stuff yourself with the truth. Miami student president reveals he's an illegal alien. That's interesting. Massachusetts cracks down on citizens who can't afford health insurance. Zieg Heil. What else is on the website that I should tell you about? Obama pushes amnesty for lame duck Congress. Government won't say why Fort Hood massacre video was erased. GOP to sue over ballots in Minnesota governor's race. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. California elects nation's first openly transgender judge. Okay. Victoria Kolakowski, who had a sex change operation in 1991, has just won an election for the Alameda County Superior Court. All I can say is they deserve her. More mosques are being built in the Houston area. Illegal alien pleads guilty in horse slaughter case. Police say Cabrera held a horse while another person slit its throat with an intent to sell the meat. There you go. They all come here to work, huh? Teen kills mom of 11 and a 61-year-old woman. What do you mean, mom of 11? Oh, a mother of 11. Michael Richard Swanson, age 17, was recently released from the Hennepin County Homeschool in Minnesota after serving more than 100 days for theft. He went on a killing spree. Schwarzenegger launches new climate change group. He wants the Green Revolution to continue, old Schwarzenegger. Tony Danza says too much God talk at a funeral for his friend. I don't know who Tony Danza is, know why it's on my website. But anyway, all of these stories are on michaelsavage.com. Remember, stuff yourself with the truth. Buy Trickle Up Poverty. Look, I know you worry about what's going on in Afghanistan and what's going on in the White House, but with all of that, you shouldn't have to worry about your computer on top of everything else. So go visit my advertisers at carbonite.com. They'll back up all your important files, so they're safe no matter what happens. Use my offer code SAVAGE, and you're going to get 2 months free with your subscription. That's carbonite.com, offer code SAVAGE. Let's go to the sound on the Savage Nation. First up is Peter Quijano, the lawyer for the acquitted suspect in the 1993 embassy bombings. The lawyer, Quijano, who joyously refers to the American justice system as the greatest ever devised.
We're in the shadow of the World Trade Center. This jury acquitted Ahmed Halfan Gilani of 284 out of 285 counts. This verdict is a reaffirmation that this nation's judicial system is the greatest ever devised. It is truly a system of laws and not men.
This Quijano advertises that his work he's done has been with drug extradition suspects to the United States from Colombia and Venezuela, talking about sympathies for the victims of the bombing attack. Do you actually believe this bum?
Although Ahmed was not responsible, we would like to express our sympathy for the 224 people who died and the hundreds of others who were injured on August 7th, 1998.
And here at Charlie Rangel's ethics trial, Congressman Joe Bonner slammed Rangel. It was pretty amazing.
It is painful for me to say this to a man I personally respect. But Mr. Rangel can no longer blame anyone other than himself for the position he now finds himself in. Mr. Rangel should only look into the mirror if he wants to know who to blame.
But Rangel, of course, couldn't help but respond to Boner's true statements, O'Bonner's true statements.
I look at myself every morning, Mr. Bonner, and I will dedicate my life in trying to let younger members and other members know that these rules are there to guide the members, to protect the character and the integrity of this Congress.
When I went to, I was in Mallorca in 66, I think, when it was just emerging from a sleepy artist colony in a way. So they were really building small condos. And I, you know, talk about literary. You want to see connection. I went there for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons I went there is because the poets were there. I remember on my Dia de Mallorca was the Robert Graves, the poet, big deal. No one ever heard of him anymore. Robert Graves walked around with a black cape up in the hills, coming down with the cobblestone, and all the girls and the boys would run after him like he was God. God only knows if anyone remembers who he is. But on the dopey island of Mallorca where I stayed, there was a poet and a couple of good writers. There was Alan Sillitoe, who had a big hit at the time called, he had written Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. Didn't he write Rosemary's Baby? I don't remember, but he wrote Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. British, you know, laborer class. I hate the word working class. Everyone works. I'm working class. I'm working right now. What does working class mean? I love when they say, born to a working class family. Who the hell is the writer? What was he born to? Royalty? I mean, working class. Everyone in America works except those who work for the government or vote for Obama. They don't work. They live on my work. But Alan Sillitoe was a factory worker, let's make it clear. And he wrote a great book about what it was like to be an English factory worker in the 50s. It became a big movie. I loved that, So I remember meeting him in Mallorca. Here I was, I don't know, a kid. I couldn't have been, I don't want to tell you my age because you know it anyway from every source on the earth. I was young, so I go there, I meet these writers, hang out, you know, to drink like them, big deal. They were all drunks in those days. In those days, a writer had to be a drunk. I don't know where that came from. Nobody can write when they're drunk. They couldn't write then when they were drunk, and they can't write now when they're drunk. I have no idea where that came from. You had to be a drug addict or an alcoholic to be a writer. The exact opposite is true. I remember Huxley wrote that how did he put it? It was so beautifully written. Is that we perform or we write despite our weaknesses, not because of them. Despite them. In other words, despite being a drunk, you write. I don't understand it, but he would drink himself. He'd go to this bar. I remember to this day the name of the bar. To this day in Palma, it was called Bar Africa. So here I am, this young kid, you know, and I made some friends with the guys there, you know, they were writers, hangers-on, would-be writers, expat, you know, basically bums. And Alan Sillitoe would drink and fall down drunk, fall asleep on a bench, and his lovely wife, Rosemary, would sit there with the baby. They had a young baby. She was like Madonna and Child. And she would, like, take him home, you know, in the car. I thought that was so romantic. Wasn't romantic, but when you're young, you have these distorted views of what romance is. It was a tragedy. The kid had a drunk for a father. And then I met a wonderful poet, and Riven Todd, probably long dead. He was a nature poet. I loved him. A Garland for a Winter Solstice. Beautiful poem. What'd you just write? Sillitoe just died this year. You just said, huh? Is Riven Todd still alive? He did write The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. I knew it. Yeah. And then there was Riven Todd. So from those years, I started writing, you know, the drivel. You start with the drivel. You start with the little thoughts and the this. And as you develop, you write longer pieces and longer pieces and longer pieces. And then eventually, if you're smart enough and lucky enough, you become a talk show host. And then you find your archives 40 years later, and then you read one of them on the air, and you're still living, and you say, is this not happiness? That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. You know, and without you, I'm sorry to sound corny, without the audience, there'd be nothing. But I always knew there'd be an audience. You see, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I always had faith. I always knew there'd be an audience for me. I always had faith in myself, and so I didn't throw my stories away. Let's talk about other things. I went to the Sierra Nevada with a friend and Mrs. S. Long car ride in the van, the 05 Chevy conversion van. Up Highway 80, up into the High Sierra, you started at 100 feet of altitude, and you wind up at 7,200 at the summit. You go over Emigrant Pass. You go over where they got stuck and ate each other, allegedly, you know. Well, the Donner Party ate each other up there. But go up to the High Sierra. And in this car ride, we had my friend brought Trickle Up Poverty with him. I actually don't have to read my own book because I wrote it. He's a physicist. He's a PhD. And he was reading the book. He actually read the book. He's one of the few people who read it. And he kept saying, oh, my God, I didn't know this. Oh, my God, I didn't know that. He said, you've got to read this on the air. I said, I can't do it. I can't just read my book on the air. People will get bored. He said, no, you have to do this. You have to disclose what Obama's done and what Obama's going to do. So I don't want to do that on the show. What I want to do is ask you this. Have you found any information or facts in that book about Obama and his minions that you think should be shared with America? I'd like you to call the show today and tell us what those sentences are that struck a chord with you on the Savage Nation. You can do it by dialing 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com website. And we'll do that because I want to know what you have found to be interesting, not what I think is interesting. You understand? Would you like me to tell you about the High Sierra at this time of year? I'll do it without any kind of malicious intent. And I will begin with a fable that I believe comes from, it could be Denmark. If anyone actually knows the fable and can call in the show and tell us who wrote the fable and what it is, I'll give you a free copy of Trickle Up. It was like this. There was a very wealthy man in, I think, Sweden or Denmark, I don't remember, as the story goes. He owned forests of trees within which he built a beautiful resort. And it was one of the most popular resorts in the history of his country. And people would go there for the air and for the beauty of the forest. But then he became greedy and he started to sell the trees off for lumber. And eventually he denuded the entire forest around the hotel. So all that was left was the hotel and a stripped-out forest behind it. But the people kept coming. And as the people came to this resort, they would say to each other, isn't it beautiful up here? Don't you just love the landscape? Now, remember, this is a landscape that had disappeared. The trees had been cut down for the lumber by the man who owned the hotel who was greedy and he wanted the profit from the trees. Eventually, of course, the people caught on and they stopped going to the resort because there was no longer a forest. This is a story about greed. And this is also a story about people who are programmed and don't even know what's going on around themselves. You drive for 4 hours. I thought I was going to go to the equivalent of the Will Rogers Sanitarium to get the freshest, cleanest air in the world in the High Sierra because I love conifers. Instead, the state of California decided to do controlled burns in the surrounding ridges and hills of the county, way up there in the Sierra. Now, I suppose they have to do controlled burns at some time to kill the dead trees. I know that that's true. Nevertheless, the smoke drifted down from the surrounding ridges to the basin, to the Tahoe Basin. It was as though I was in industrial England. We got up there, our eyes were tearing, we were coughing, we were sneezing, and we said, we cannot believe this. Instead of walking around and inhaling the great air with a mixture of the smell of pine cones, we went indoors and we stayed indoors until late at night when the fires finally dissipated. And that's very akin to Obama. There's a direct relationship to the mythology that was put forward by Obama. He was the savior. He was hope. He was change. He was this. He was that. But at the end of the day, he stripped the forest bare. And right now, there's nothing left but pollution. Savage. I got to take this from another angle for you. I'm playing the spacey music for a reason. I'm driving in the car up and down in the mountains with my friend, who's a physicist, Dr. Sarfati, Jack Sarfati. You say physicist, you think like a distinguished professor. He's better than a distinguished professor. He's my friend. But he's a very, very intelligent, interesting guy. We talk a lot about a lot of things. And he was astonished at my ability to see things before they happen. And he loves my book. He loves me. We know each other for many years. And something happened in the car that was astonishing, which I'm not going to divulge. It's a personal thing, because he got home and he emailed me. He said, just what you mentioned about a long-lost family member who I haven't heard from in years. We were talking about an uncle of his who was a hero in World War II, who a guy from Brooklyn. Listen to this story. I got to tell you the whole story. His uncle was a guy from Brooklyn. And he was like a dancer who was about to go to Hollywood. He was offered a role in Hollywood. But his father said to him, this is just before World War II, go into the reserve so you can get it over with and then go to Hollywood to pick up your movie career. He goes into the reserves. He has a week to go. The Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor. He's one of the first boats sent over to the Pacific Islands. And he had been harassed to death by the Marine Corps. I think the Marines. I'm not sure. Army. And they picked on him because he was Jewish. They made him do the worst work, peeling potatoes, cleaning latrines. But he never gave in. He didn't cry and whine and go to he did it, whatever they said. They made him dig ditches when the other guys would laugh at him. As a result, he was in the first wave of one of the actions on one of the beaches where 90% of the men were killed. And he said he survived primarily because the sergeants were so mean to him, and he was in such great physical shape because of the digging and the hard work. He was lean and mean and really tough. Now, that was just the beginning of the conversation. He then became the most popular man on patrols in the jungles of the South Pacific, his uncle, because he had almost a fifth sense, or a sixth sense, rather, where he could detect the Japanese sniper in the trees before anybody else. Now, remember, this is a guy from Brooklyn. This guy, his uncle. And he's now walking with some of these tough hunters, these kids who had been hunting in Georgia. They were good guys, very tough guys. But they used this kid from Brooklyn as the lead because he can see and hear things that they couldn't see and hear. He knew where the snipers were. Nobody knew how he could do it. He was able to conceive of things that they couldn't, or see and hear things. And eventually wound up working with the American Indian code talkers because he was on their wavelength in terms of ability to scout and whatnot. So anyway, the guy survives World War II. He's injured, this and that. So I'm in the car with him and I bring it up. My friend gets home and he sends me an email. He says, you brought up something about it. And we got an email from a relative. How did you know this? Why did you bring it up? Why did you bring this up? In the same car ride, out of nowhere, I bring up Ira Einhorn and his murder of his girlfriend in Philadelphia decades ago. Out of nowhere, I brought it up and start talking about it. Jack said, I knew him, this and that. And little we know, we get home and we read the first published interview from Philadelphia with Ira Einhorn, the murderer, the man who killed his girlfriend and put her into a trunk, Holly Maddox, I remembered her name. He said, how did you come up with these things? I said, sometimes my mind goes into a wavelength where I can predict the future, and I don't know how it happens. These are on a minor scale. I mean, this is not something that you write home about what I'm telling you. I'm giving you minor examples. So I said to Jack, I said, who are the leading scientists on the precognitive reality issue, meaning people who can't, you know, okay, let's put it in common terms, premonitions. You ever have a premonition and it comes true? We all do. But there are some people who can do it on a regular basis. So I said, in the world of physics, physical sciences, who are the best minds in the area of precognitive reality? Well, he said there are several, and he gives me a list, and he says he's the leading living theoretician in that field. And I can believe that, and his new book will be out in a while, and we'll have him on for that. But Discover magazine recently wrote an article called Back from the Future, in which a series of experiments show that measurements performed in the future can influence the present. And they ask, does that mean the universe has a destiny? And and they talk about it from that way, back to the future, and the real rules of time travelers. Does the universe have a destiny? It's all about back from the future. You follow what I'm saying to you? Am I making any sense? Measurements performed in the future can influence the present. I said to my friend Jack, I said, in terms of politics, in terms of international politics in particular, I have never been wrong. I have always been able to not so much predict what would happen as so much as deduct what would happen. And that is because I have a classically trained mind, classically trained education in the hard sciences. I was also trained by one of the finest Aristotelian minds of our time, who no one ever heard of, called my father. The man went to a few years of high school, had no formal education, but he had a rock-solid mind, and he trained me rigorously to think for myself. He would never answer a direct question on issues that required thinking. I was 3-4 years old. I'd walk with him and say, "Dad, can you tell me blah, blah, blah?" He'd say, "Well, think about it." And he'd teach me how to think. Now, I want you to compare that to the children today who are taught to not think. The children today are taught to answer what they have been told to say. These are the children who Obama is talking to now in the colleges, many of whom are drugged, many of whom are on psychedelic drugs given to them by their quack physicians, and or toxic psychoactive drugs that they're using on a regular basis, whether it be the New Age marijuana or whatever. Savage.